that lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green. She's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't pinpoint that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what there? Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
So, Rob, let's face it, if we were playing Peterborough every week, it would be happy days, wouldn't it?
It would indeed.
Exactly. But it is an awesomely happy day today, because in the Wayne's World era, when they met Alice Cooper, they said, "We are not worthy." And I'm going to say the same thing. We are not worthy to have the awesome soul who's live in the studio now. He is probably one of the finest strikers who's ever sort of performed for Middlesbrough Football Club, ever.
Yes.
It's Bernie Slavin! Yay!
I'm allowed to say good morning. Give the time away, is it? Good morning.
Yeah,
good morning.
Yeah.
You missed out the cheapest.
Bernie.
Best letter writer.
Yeah.
Superb. Indeed. And that, of course, takes us way back briefly to, of course, when you wrote those letters to all the football clubs, and Borough, of course, realised that this is the man we need to sign up straight away.
Good spelling.
Yeah, well, I didn't have the intelligence to think of that. It was a journalist in Glasgow at the time, urged me, send letters. I was a wee bit reluctant coming from a council estate. I thought, listen, I've Scotland's top scorer. I'm not going to beg for a game of football. And I would have chucked it, if I'm being brutally honest. But this guy urged me to get these letters sent off. And I did that. And as you mentioned, the rest is history. I've been here 32 years in Teesside.
Can't get rid of him.
Can't get rid of me. Like a bad penny.
We have to acknowledge the fact that you also brought Port Vale their first ever trophy as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
Right, you've did your homework, you.
It's important to work our way through that. But certainly, the part that you play in Middlesbrough history, I mean, I think, Rob, it's fair to say that... If it wasn't for the Fly Me to the Moon being referred to Tony Mowbray, we would probably actually be talking about the Bernie Slavin fanzine.
Yeah, well, a lot of us went down to watch Bernie and Paul Kerr.
Paul Kerr, Dean Glover.
In the final.
In the final.
For Port Vale, because that was the sort of how we viewed Bernie and his achievements for Middlesbrough. Yeah. Standing on the fence. Well, of course, you stood on the fence in my garden. Once.
I did. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was a funny story, that one.
Yeah. Because people know I live in Essen Park. So yes, you got me a garden.
But Rob had invited me around. This is long after, when the houses had been developed and the grass was just grown at the time in the gardens. And Rob says, or somebody says, jump up there, put a Middlesbrough top on, give it Klein's fist. And as I'm doing that, this skinhead comes out his house and goes, get off the effing fence. That's the last time I was down there.
Well, there we are. Old times.
Looking at the statistics here, hopefully confirms 118 goals. 118 goals in 307 games for Borough.
Well, I count 147 goals because that's exactly what I scored. People say 146 because one was against Rochdale in some cup competition. Mm-hmm. But for me, 147 in 382 games. Last guy to score 100 goals. Last guy to score 20 league goals. Mm-hmm. I am delighted at that. But I think that's embarrassing with the money we have spent. Whoever's responsible at Middlesbrough for bringing in strikers that couldn't hit this building we're sitting in today, you should be thrown in the River Tees. I'd tell them out of the face.
Yeah. I mean, certainly British Sambalonga has got something to...
Oh, no, we're not talking about Sambalonga. We're going to be before that. Michael Ricketts and Alves and all these guys.
we were talking about, of course, the fact that clearly, from the City point of view, that as we said, Rob, you'll be pleased to know that I can report quite categorically that City fans have forgiven Bernie Slavin for scoring against City in a 2-0 victory in his first game in the Premiership.
Do you remember that, Rob?
It's a long way back.
How were you? 92, first Premier League season.
Yes, I do, yes.
One was a header. I was only against Keith Cully. He smoked about 60 a day.
And went on to manage Carlisle, but phenomenal. We're going to be talking, obviously, about Bernie's lifetime's career, etc. But Bernie, first question, Fly Me to the Moon, the actual magazine.
Yes.
The package from that point of view. Your thoughts, because this is something which emerged, obviously, out of your era within Middlesbrough.
I think... I'm going to be brutally honest here, although Rob's sitting next to me. I think it's probably diluted a bit since the days that I played. Mm-hmm. It was really, some of it was hard hitting. Mm-hmm. I've still got copies in my loft. I've got one where I missed a flight to Bermuda. And I remember getting it still in the loft.
Yeah.
And they had an aeroplane with my head on the front of the aeroplane. Like I'd dodged the flight because of my fear of flying.
Oh, yeah.
So that was
remember.
One.
Yep.
There was another one that says separated at birth or something. It was Lady Diana and me because of the quiffs.
Yeah.
There was another one, Donkey Adams against the Wolf Man. And I've got an inside that a lot of the times it wasn't complimentary. I quite enjoyed it. I liked the both sides. But yeah, so.
This is a whole side, Rob, because clearly that whole notion of sort of legal action and dealing with respect to him is such a reply.
I should have remembered his letter writing.
But when I read it, if I was offended, I never went looking for Rob because I thought, well, that's their opinion and that's okay. I'm fine with that.
It is the voice of the fans, and in an era where clearly it's a reaction against the corporate nature of football clubs, and there are lots of corporate nations that actually obviously been part of Borough TV, is it still a healthy thing to actually have a fanzine that effectively is the voice of the fans talking about Borough football?
Without a doubt, we're living in the real world. You know, when you look who's the president of America and who deals in Britain and Farage and all these guys, you don't want me to talk about this. This is BBC we're on, or what? What is this? I know you're a BBC man probably in the past. Come on, give me your head a shake.
No, I mean, actually, about that, as a professional athlete,
yeah.
If, shall we say, the Prime Minister ordered out some burgers, congealed fat, and put them on a silver platter and said, there we are, enjoy that, you know, would you have responded positively?
I mean, well, what do you mean?
I'm talking about the President Trump's recent ordering out of burger. For
well, I'm vegan, so I wouldn't. I would knock it back, you know.
Excellent. That's what I'd like to hear. That I think is where we keep world politics on one side.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Brexit, maybe not. Rob, since last we spoke, of course, a fantastic cup win, or was it literally a game of two halves against Peterborough?
Yeah, it was. Nothing happened in the first half. Second half, five goals. It's a long time. You have to go back a long time before Borough scored five goals in a half. Mm. And obviously, British Sombolonga, we saw him in the past when he played against Forest, his old club, and he couldn't hit the target. It really got to him. But against Peterborough, he was inspired. That was the club where he really sort of came to the fore. Mm. And I guess from that game and going to Derby and join after going 1-0 down in the first minute and having lost your centre-half in the warm-up, that it built a lot of confidence, the back of those two games. I mean, Bernie, is that a case that you can go on bad runs and good runs, but if basically sometimes something happens in a game, you win a game somehow, and then players just feel 10 feet tall.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the players have been coming for criticism, probably rightly so, because it's not been good in the eye. We've been huffing and puffing. Then all of a sudden, against Peterborough, we're 0-0, half-time.
Yeah.
The first half was awful.
It's and like then, Burton all over again.
Yes, exactly. And it looked like, I was listening to fans like talking between themselves when I was getting into the lounge at half time, and you could hear them swearing, and this is Robbie and whatever. And then whatever's happened at half time, obviously we made one or two adjustments. Pulis has no doubt given him a rocket. And we score five terrific goals. Wings was the bunch. Terrific. That gives everybody in the dressing room a lift and a belief that, hey, we can maybe turn the corner here. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, the Derby game, the game on Saturday,
yeah.
was terrific. Sombolonga's goal was a great finish. Something that sometimes I question his cool and composure on one-on-one situation. Lovely chip. I think the keep went down like a tree, but it was a great finish from his point of view. And a Sombolonga, I hear people saying, Sombolonga this, Sombolonga that. Sombolonga would score even more goals. He's got a great ratio. More goals if he'd summed up alongside him. I judge strikers on what they score, knowing how many miles they run, how big they are, how aggressive they are, how many goals they score. That's why you're a striker.
Mm.
Interesting words. Let's move on, because clearly we were talking about this era with respect to Middlesbrough. Is it looking good, or is it a case of we'll need to send some Pulis spies out into enemy camps and see what training methods?
Well, I've nothing against sending spies. We've been doing it for years. It's just not been revealed.
The Leeds manager, obviously, is so gutted. He's just saying he's almost he's having confessions about the whole thing, really.
If you want my opinion, I think it's a mountain or a molehill. I think you use every tool in the book. We, Middlesbrough, used to dry the till for our team, but not dry for the opposition. The lad that, was it Beck at Cambridge many years ago? That's the first time I ever experienced
it. Oh, yeah.
Now that's,
John Beck.
You're using something, a wee slight advantage, because we like the long throwing. Mm. That's to our advantage. Mm. So we're using other tools. Somebody in the bushes or wherever he was up a tree. Hey, go for it. It's not illegal.
I was also quite taken by
bad manners.
the away dressing room for Middlesbrough Football Club, it's not full of the sort of key things there. It's a psychological thing. They make it quite clear that
It's green, it's cold, it goes around the corner so that the manager can't speak to all the players at the same time.
Bernie, what's the worst away dressing room you've ever been in?
Oh, I don't even have to think about that one. Millwall. The Den.
Right, the Den.
Oh, the old Den. Yeah. My.
We went there in the middle of winter. The tiles were hanging off the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
No carpets. The water was cold. The heating was off.
Yeah.
They did everything to ruffle us. Can't remember the score, but that was, it was an intimidating place to go.
And strange as it may seem, what is this Flying to the Moon podcast about? Millwall. It's time.
Oh, yes.
It's time for the revenge. It's time to take that, Millwall, for all the agony you've put some of the Borough legends of the past through. Rob, are we optimistic about this? Is it going to be a good result, or is it a case of back to the home form? What's the appeal this?
Yeah, well, that's been the problem, hasn't it? I think our away form has been pretty good through the season. There've been a few blips, but we're set up really, aren't we? Defensively to be difficult to break down, and that makes and the onus is always on the home side to attack you. But we're on a good run, and confidence has grown. And confidence from the fans as well. A lot of it is to do with who gets the best start, isn't it, in a game like this. And, I am fairly confident that, I've said this a few times before here, but think we will beat Millwall. And, you know, it was very important that everyone was thinking through December, we've got to bring players in the transfer window. We've got to. But, in reality, you don't.
Van La Parra seems as though he's pretty much on form, really.
Yeah,
and obviously he's joined us. He goes back to Huddersfield. He's not even got. It's the same manager that he had.
No, true. No, but what I was going to make the point was that you don't. 90% of the deals tend to be done right at the last day, the last hour of the month. So it would be a long way to wait through January, waiting for these players to come in. Mm. It's far better to be on a roll now. You can't sort of have that traditional post-festive slump. And I've made the point in here that. Mm. It's been something that Middlesbrough have often done. After New Year, we lose a lot of games, but under Tony Pulis in the two seasons, he's obviously no respecter of Borough traditions, because we always have a good, we've had a good January. We're going at two, but so far, so let's keep it going.
Hmm. I mean, Bernie, the transfer window, a phenomenon that emerged back into the last century, was it something which you think, fine, we need to have that? Or should we go back to the days where actually it was pretty much open season all season?
It must be frustrating, but it's not a secret. You know, if you don't get them in the first window, you have to get them in the Christmas just to boost morale and whatever and confidence. And at the minute, we know as Middlesbrough fans what we need. Tony Pulis knows what he needs. He needs players that fit his criteria. We need width, we need pace, and we need more goals.
Well, we started this season, of course, we made a great thing with the notion, Rob, that there were lots of ex-Borough managers around. There's one fewer now that Karanka's actually gone.
Yes.
So there's Gary Monk, Tony Mowbray, and there's Steve McLaren, of course, still out there.
Well, Forrest, I was looking back at they've had 40 managers in their history, and over half of them have been in the last 19 years. So. Mm. Tells you. Yeah.
We're going to talk more about Millwall, more about Newport, because it's like alphabetical FMTTM, Millwall, then Newport. And whether Tony Pulis as a Newport man will kind of have any kind of torn, divided loyalties.
Mm.
I suspect it's going to be a 2-1 win for Middlesbrough that. But more about that and more from the awesomeness that is Bernie Slavin. It's sitting in exactly the same seat that actually Malcolm Allison and Colin Cooper have sat in previous incarnations at the Southside Studios at the James Cook University Hospital. But that's flying to the
Their backsides were bigger than me.
It says something, though. We've still kept the seats exactly the same. Yeah.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
100 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. He is a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on, slow down.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
the recipe?
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Flying at the Moon.
Thank you very much, Bernie. That sounds a bit strange, doesn't it?
On the computer, and he's in the studio as well.
Ghost-like.
Yeah. I think I actually recorded that one back in the December 2017 period, which was still
in Hill Street Centre, was that?
Yes, exactly.
Christmas would not be Christmas, let's be honest, without actually Bernie Slaven being present.
I mean, that is true.
It's, you know,
Santa and Bernie Slaven.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the whole thing. And Jimmy Flynn has actually produced something, Rob, which you're inviting me to actually read as a tribute, an homage.
Yes.
Obviously, Bernie said, okay, well, here we go. It's Magical Commentary Duo. Has local radio ever seen, or in broadcasting history, has there ever been a more disparate yet magical commentary team than the duo, who for what seemed a decade-long wonderful dream were unforgettably linked to the Borough scene? Years packed with ecstasy, excitement and tears, when together they commentated on the club's rise to football's highest tiers. A more unlikely combo could there ever be than Bernie Slaven and Ali Brown-Lee? Ali, blatantly biased, gloriously, unashamedly, over the top, seeing only players in a Borough top, non-stop adjectives endlessly flowing, his infectious enthusiasm mind-blowing, talking listeners on a 90-minute football roller coaster ride, painting a verbal picture, replete with witty aside, his magical vocabulary whisking listeners away to whichever stadium Borough played that day. Overtly Borough through and through, delivering his commentaries from a fan's point of view. Bernie, Borough's legendary former goal-scoring great, in his pundit's role, would patiently wait, picking his moment, awaiting his cue, to deliver a perfectly weighted point of view. Borough's most famous adopted son would pick up the microphone and verbally run, never afraid to take players and managers to task, or difficult questions ask, adding ingredients of sobriety and calm to Ali's mix of natural ebullience and charm. The result was a compound magical and rare, a magnificent commentary team beyond compare. Ali Brown-Lee and Bernie Slaven, legendary commentary duo ingrained in the fabric of Middlehaven.
Yay! Bernie, did that
very good, I have to say. Yeah, that's a very good poem, and well done to you for reading it out. You read it ever so well.
Well, I like to feel that, obviously, having listened extensively to yourself and Ellie, I've kind of channeled the best of
I had the word ecstasy in there.
Precisely. Great stuff. So, as we said, Bill was up. Bernie, good cup run. Is it a mixed blessing? I mean, obviously, Newcastle gutted this week because they actually won against Blackburn. I mean, you know, they're just devastated.
I did watch that game as well, yeah. I think cup run for teams like us, Middlesbrough, I think they're important. Mm. You know, people get this thing that it affects your league form. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. We in Middlesbrough, we've won one cup in 140 odd years. Mm-hmm. How about winning another one?
Do you know,
is that too much to ask?
Exactly.
Great. That'd be absolutely brilliant. And we've got the fanzine here with a picture of Lewis Wing on the front. And of course, Lewis Wing has come to fore this season from the League Cup. So who could do the same from the
Carabao,
yeah.
Whatever happened to the full members cup? Obviously, when Chelsea won, they decided they won't do any more about that whole thing. It was ridiculous, basically, that line of things. When you were actually at Wembley in the full members cup final, and Tony DiRigo unfortunately committed his cardinal sin.
Stolce Persie should have caught that.
Exactly. was it something which you just thought, I mean, they always say that losing is worse in the final than in the semi-final.
Yeah, well, first of all, that was the first time that a team had ever got to a cup final at Wembley in Middlesbrough's history. Yeah. You know, some of the greats, Mannion, Clough,
there was, of course,
Fenton,
the Anglo-Scottish Cup in 1970.
No, that didn't count.
It wasn't Wembley, though, as well.
Obviously, it was at Wembley. Obviously, it was a full members' cup, which wasn't the FA Cup or the League Cup, but there was a full house there at Wembley.
Yeah.
It wasn't as if there was 20,000 went. I remember passing early morning, and they were queuing round Erson Park for tickets for the final.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, dear me, I thought U2 was coming. They were coming out to watch us at Wembley against Chelsea. Great day, passes by. Not just me, the team passes by. It was an entertaining game. Mm. And obviously it was decided by, you mentioned, a Tony DiRigo free kick.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Which was
disappointing. It's obviously the challenge of playing teams in blue at Wembley. You know, Leicester City, Chelsea. From out of Bolton Wanderers, of course, no problem, because they're in white.
Yeah.
You know, there's the message there. Make sure if you get to a final, the other team don't wear blue.
Well, I can say that you're probably right in saying that, but don't forget we relegated Chelsea. And their own backyard.
Battle of Stamford Bridge. I was there, Bernie.
Were you there?
Yeah, amongst Chelsea supporters.
Did you get chased? us, the players?
I mean, that was an extraordinary. I mean, it was extraordinary. Period. I was there as a guest. A couple of Chelsea fans who sort of invited me along. I was there, so I got the whole sort of impression of that. But yes, it was something where I couldn't really celebrate for obvious reasons. I wanted to continue living. But it was. I mean, have we kind of hopefully gone past that? Because there's always signs every so often saying, and Millwall tomorrow, of course, case in point, because last season, of course, there were issues with Borough fans and so on.
I think the trouble, in the main, the trouble days are over, I would think.
And of course, Millwall, it's a complete turnaround for them, because if you remember last season, they've had a fantastic season, and they've just been promoted, and the momentum carried them forward, and they were challenging for promotion, and it was all killed off at the end. But this season, they're looking over the shoulders, aren't they? They're trying to stay in the division. So it's a bit different from their point of view, but they've got a good manager, haven't they? Somebody who scored a lot of goals for them, and always seems an honest guy.
Not quite as challenged as Ipswich Town are being, of course, but it's a different line entirely. However, post-Afghan tales, just mentioning Stanistan here. He remembers his very first football match. It was September 1988. Borough were at home to Sheffield Wednesday. Bernie, what was your first ever football match as a fan? Was it a Celtic game?
Oh, it would have been a Celtic game, without a doubt. I couldn't tell you, because I was so young. My father used to take me 5-6-year-old. Back at Parkhead in those days, it was about 80,000-90,000. Mm. He would take me in early doors. It used to be the Celtic end, and what the other end was called the Rangers end. So my father used to take me the Rangers end. Although you weren't playing Rangers, it was just called the Rangers end.
Yeah, yeah.
And he used to take me down to the front with the wall. Yeah, the perimeter wall.
Mm. Yeah.
Sit you on there, give you a bag of sweets, and disappear into the mass crowd and say, I'll see you after the game. And as a kid, you would spend the whole game with your feet on the cinder track, and the policeman would walk around every minute and say, right, Sean, get your legs over there, and then you'd turn around and you'd miss the game, and then you'd turn it back, and you just spent your day eating sweets. And so, but my boyhood hero at Celtic was Dalglish. I mean, Kenny's 10 years older than me, and he was a guy, although I seen the Lisbon Lions, I was too young to take in how good they were. Guys like Jimmy Johnson, Bobby Murder, Lennox, you know, I could name the whole team, Ronnie Simpson. But Dalglish was the one that really got me.
Don't forget Jimmy Johnson, of course.
Jimmy Johnson, well, he was named Celtic greatest ever player a few years ago. Jinky Johnson.
Jinky Johnson. Socks down.
The only similarity I had with him was he was frightened of flying as well.
Was he?
Yes.
Right.
And, of course, Dennis Bergkamp, who, of course, was Bruce Rioch's first signing for Arsenal.
That's right.
Oh, I'm scared of flying.
Is it just Bruce Rioch? He does, he signs ace players who don't like to get on planes.
Possibly.
well, you mentioned Bobby Murdoch there. Yep. Of course, Bobby Murdoch came south to Middlesbrough and was instrumental in Charlton's champions. He sort of converted what was a good team into a brilliant team in second division standards, but he was such a fantastic passer.
He was my late father's. My late father used to rave about Bobby Murdoch right throughout his lifetime. He's the best Celtic player he's ever seen.
Right.
One of the best players he's ever seen. And Bobby had a slight. My mother used to go to the same church as Bobby's mother. And when I was joining Middlesbrough, talking about coming to Middlesbrough, my mother came in this night after church and says, "Look, you have to phone Bobby Murdoch." I'm 23 years of age, 24. I'm thinking, number Bobby Murdoch, Celtic legend, European Cup winner. How can I phone Bobby? Yeah. Anyway, bucked up the courage, gave him a phone and asked his advice, you know, how is Middlesbrough? Is it a good place to live there? And he raved about Middlesbrough. So he says, great place, great people. And that was enough for me. Mm. No, I was obviously thinking of coming anyway, but I just wanted a bit more backup.
As we were showing before.
His nephew lives next door to me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. I
did not know this till a few weeks ago. Right. He said, "Do you remember my uncle?"
Wow.
There you have it. You see, it's all there. And I recall doing a piece with Bobby Murdoch when he was with Harold Shepherdson at Middlesbrough back.
He was manager, wasn't he? That's right.
It was truly a wonderful story. It has been so fantastic, Bernie. Last time I felt this excitement was when I was in a dressing room with Rodney Marsh, Joe Ryle and Colin.
Rodney Marsh. You're talking through characters there, then.
Genuinely, Rob allows me as a City fan to, because my first team was actually, well, the first Borough game was actually Chelsea, I think. What was your first game, Rob? 1974 was me.
Was it? Yeah. I was before that, but I just remember, I think it was Cardiff City, but I'm not certain. I just remember John Hickton coming off the bench, which is quite rare, and he came and his first touch was to score the goal, and people all cheering and wondering why he was substitute. But he was the hero of every kid.
John was very much the folk legend before Bernie actually took his place.
Well, that's right, absolutely.
John Hickton,
yes.
Oh, the late great Ali Brownlee, he raved about John Hickton. That was his favourite all-time player, and used to tell me numerous stories about how he ran for the halfway line, which I've spoke to John many a time, and he says that was a myth.
Oh, for the penalties?
Yeah, for a penalty. He'd run to the halfway line. Yeah. John says to me, "Bernie, I'd been knackered the time I got there. I did take a long run up, but over the halfway
line." It was long.
Maybe Ali was confused with Alan Fogger. different line there. How can people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, Rob?
Oh, well, if they go to the website, fmttm.com, and click on subscribe and get the details there, or you can find it in the back page of the fanzine, or you can do the old...
The old-fashioned way,
write a letter to Fly Me to the Moon.
Bernie did.
Yeah, exactly.
So please take that exactly.
Find a pen from somewhere. Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilkes Street, Middlesbrough, TS15AP.
And let's do a little mini prediction. Bernie, against Millwall, what do you think the result's going to be?
I'll say 2-1.
2-1?
2-1. I'm not a betting man. I can say what I want. I could say 10-0, but I don't think we'll get 10. No. 2-1. Long as we won the game, it's important to win and stay in that pack.
I'll go 3-0 to Borough. Rob?
I'm going
to
go for 2-0. Mm. Yeah.
And
I'll
say a 2-1 win against Newport County as well, which we haven't really spoken about. Rob, do you think that's do you think Newport County is should be easy. I mean,
we can't say anything's easy after Button Albion.
It's true.
No.
So I think that puts it in perspective,
Yeah, that'll be a difficult game. Newport have been really good at home in the Cups in the last couple of years, and it's kind of like a battle of transporter bridges, and then Tony Pulis coming from Newport. It's got quite a lot of things
Absolutely.
But I have to say, Steve Gibson, the chairman, has did well. That's 8 draws at home. He's done well, Steve. Gibbo, well done.
Yeah. I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
We could share the tale of how there was a wonderful re-meeting of minds back in the 2002 World Cup, Rob, when you actually met up with Steve Gibson in...
Japan.
In Japan. Which this
Japan?
Was, this was,
yeah.
I did. England versus Brazil.
Right.
This was the moment where the tension that had been previously present between the director and owner, of course, and the fans, I think... Share the tale, Rob.
Yeah, we had fallen out a couple of years before.
But then, in Japan,
you know those sort of queues you have in the post office where you snake around?
Yes.
In Japan, the Japanese like their sort of organisation, this was the biggest post office queue you'd ever seen outside the stadium. As in, it took about half an hour for one person entering at one side of the maze, because it was two sort of sides, and you snaked around, and then you passed each other.
Right.
And I could see Steve Gibson coming in an England shirt.
Right.
And for about half an hour,
I
was just like getting slowly closer and closer to him.
Together.
And the last time we'd spoken, he said I wasn't his best friend. So all this time, oh my God. It's gonna happen. And then we just got, we got closer and closer, and then he just said, "Hello, stranger."
Well,
and then we went.
You ran like the clappers. Yes.
Let's see, works have come together superbly from that point of view. So it's a great stuff. That
can we dedicate this to Sandra Jackson, who was a great Borough fan. She was steward on coach number one. She served in the Borough shop for many years. She gave out tickets from the little pagoda at the football ground. It was a funeral yesterday, and it was a very moving affair. But it brought Borough fans together from over the years. The church was packed, and there was the reception, and everything was at the Riverside Stadium. And she meant a lot to a lot of people. A lot of folk called her, like they said that she was their Borough mum. And she used to look after all the kids on the coach and the older people.
Bernie Slavin as well. Yeah, you looked after your good son.
Yeah, yeah. Rob mentioned it today. Yeah, condolences to your family. She's a lovely lady, smart lady.
It's been an absolutely awesome production, as we knew it would be. Bernie, will you return to another Fly Me to the Moon?
Oh,
in
we'll
the
return.
Studio?
No problem.
You see, how
I hope
many
the check's bigger the next time. Today.
How many years, Rob, have we actually sort of had co-presented guests? They knew nothing about football at all. finally, we've got it sorted out, which is fantastic. So, final plug, of course, for your book, Bernie, which is still out there and available, and hopefully Rob liked his Christmas present.
I did, thank you very much.
Yeah, I heard Rob's using it as a doorstopper. That's okay.
Well worth accessing from all good online retailers, etc. Bernie, author, football extraordinaire, Borough legend. It's been fantastic. We've got one final task before we actually go off for a coffee and various other bits and pieces. This is going to be truly memorable, Rob. I think we need to clip this of the whole thing. We have 7 final words that we wrap up with every particular production. And I think with you saying it, it's pretty much promotion guaranteed. So after 3. 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.
Oh, I've got a frog in my throat.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.